Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans 6, and this is God's word for us this morning. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Amen. This is God's word for us this morning. Let's pray for a moment together. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to sing your praise this morning. We thank you for Tom and for his testimony, his faith in you. And we pray for him as he prepares to be baptized in a little while. We thank you for your word that we've just read. And we pray in these moments that you would help us to think upon it this morning. Help us to lay to the side all the thoughts, cares, and concerns in these moments and to focus in on you and in you alone. May we not get caught up in the stammering, stuttering words of your servant, the preacher. But Lord, may we hear directly from your Spirit. Speak to our hearts, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. A drunk stumbled upon a baptismal service on a Sunday afternoon down by the river. He proceeded to march past everyone and to walk straight into the water and stood next to the preacher. The minister turned and noticed the old drunk and said, "Mister, are you ready to find Jesus?" The drunk looked at him and said, "Yes, preacher, I sure am." The minister then dunked the fellow under the water and pulled him right back up. "Have you found Jesus?" the preacher asks. "No, I didn't," replies the drunk. The preacher then dunks him under for quite a bit longer, brings him up and says, "Now, brother, have you found Jesus?" "No, I did not, preacher." The preacher, in disgust, takes the man and puts him back under the water and holds him under for at least 30 seconds, and this time brings him up out of the water and in a harsh tone says, "Friend, are you sure you haven't found Jesus yet?" The old drunk wiped the water from his eyes and looked at the preacher and said to him, "Are you sure this is where he fell in?" Now, we don't need to worry about Tom falling in this morning. That's why Jim and I will be in the water. We also don't need to worry about Tom finding Jesus this morning, for he's already declared that he knows him and loves him and follows him. And this morning, he is simply being obedient to him by being baptized and declaring publicly his faith in Jesus. Baptism is not about finding Jesus. Rather, it's about proclaiming to the world that Jesus has found me and saved me, and now I am following him. But just in case you don't know Jesus, I want to take a few minutes this morning to point you towards him, because I would love for you to know what Tom knows and to live the life that Tom is set on living. We'll think on that together this morning as we consider those verses I just read in Romans 6 under a title of baptized into Christ Jesus. Baptism is a picture. I've already mentioned the rich symbolism of baptism and the picture it paints for us as we consider what happens as we get into the water and go under the water and come back out. There are so many other ways to picture baptism as well. Here, Paul in these verses paints a picture, three pictures actually, for what happens to us when we're baptized. Firstly, there's a picture of dedication. Paul speaks of our identification with Jesus Christ and our union with him. He's speaking of a group who have come to faith in Jesus, who have left their old way of life behind and are seeking to live for Him going forward. These folks have found Jesus. But what does that even mean, finding Jesus, coming to faith in Jesus? Well, let me give you a quick resume of the gospel in case you've forgotten or in case you've never heard it before. Because I want to share the gospel that we believe in, that we live out, and that we proclaim. And to do that, I'm going to use the book of Romans, a whole lot of verses. There's a little method, a pathway of leading folks to faith in Jesus, sometimes called the Romans Road. And these are the verses. Romans 1 and 20 begins by reminding us that God is the creator of the world, and we can all know that. Creation sings out that there is a creator. The world didn't happen by accident. God formed something from nothing. He brought order from chaos. He made the world and everything in it. And that world, according to the first books of the Bible, the first words recorded there in Genesis 1 and 2, that world was perfect in every single way. Sadly, by the time we get to Genesis chapter 3, sin enters the world. God created the world and knew how we should live within it in order to enjoy it and live life to the full. But the first man and the first woman decided to ignore God and to do their own thing. You see, God gave us free will, our own minds. And the first man and woman wanted to satisfy their own desires and their own cravings. And that's what sin is, looking out for number one, ignoring God, disobeying His laws. And we're still at that today. We still ignore our Creator, the Creator of the world. We still want to do our own thing. On our Romans road, we get to Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 that says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Earlier in that chapter, in verse 10, it says, "There's no one righteous, not even one, no one who understands, no one who seeks God." We've turned away and we've done our own thing. So what, you see? Surely it's our life and we can live it as we want, and yes, absolutely you can. But you need to understand that there are consequences to living life our own way and ignoring the one who made us. God cannot stand sin and He has to deal with it, and one day He's going to. Romans 6:23 tells us what's going to happen. It says, "For the wages of sin is death." But it goes on to say, "But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The penalty is death. It's, in simple terms, it's separation from God forever. We will live apart from our Creator and the sustainer of the universe. In Him is life, and life in all of its fullness. Without Him, there is death and there's destruction. But there in that verse, we find the hope and a way out. God has gifted us with the opportunity of eternal life, of life forever with Him. How did He do it? Through Jesus Christ, it says. Back on the Romans road, we read in Romans 5 and 8, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this, that yet, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Jesus paid the price we could not pay. He died to save us from our sins. What wonderful news. But what do we need to do? What do we do with all of that? Well, we need to accept, first of all, that we're sinners, and then we need to respond in faith. Romans 10 and 9 on the Romans road says, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, then you will be saved." And that offer's open to everyone. Later in Romans 10 and 13, it says, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And when we put our trust and our faith in Jesus, when we follow Him completely, we discover a newfound peace. Romans 5 and verse 1, "Therefore, since we are justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." The Romans road, telling us all that we need to know in order to understand what it is to look to our Creator, to turn back to Him, and to put our trust and our faith in Jesus. In simple terms, friends, we are sinners who have rebelled against God. That sin is going to separate us from Him forever, and we will face destruction and death. But God loves us and sent His only Son to save us. Jesus died that we might live. In order to receive that forgiveness and that assurance of our faith, all we need to do is believe in Jesus. We're called to turn from our sin and to crown Him as Lord. And then Peter, as he said in those verses I mentioned earlier from Acts 2, he says, "Repent and be baptized, Tom has come to put his faith and trust in Jesus. He recognizes he is a sinner who needs a Savior. He's come to be reborn, to be born again as a believer in Jesus Christ. God's been at work in his life for an awful long time, but he's now ready completely, fully to commit himself to his Savior. There's no turning back. In baptism, we identify with Jesus very publicly. Two phrases in those verses that we read in that passage in Romans 6 stand out for me about identifying with Christ. It says, buried with him, and it goes on to say, united with him. When a child of God is baptized in water, he or she is identifying themselves with Jesus quite clearly, with his death and with his resurrection. Now, let me clearly say once more that baptism doesn't save us. We are saved. Wonderful phrase of mine. Well, it's not mine, actually. It's from somebody else in the Bible. Great phrase. We are saved through by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, so that God alone gets the glory. We're saved when we put our trust and our faith in Jesus, believing that he died to save us, and that through his atoning sacrifice on the cross, we are set free from the burden of sin. The chains are gone. We've been set free. Baptism is an outward symbol of an inward work of God. It's a public testimony of faith in Christ. Those who are following Jesus Christ in baptism are saying, I have trusted Jesus as my Savior, I have received him, and I am not ashamed to identify myself with him. Are you dedicated to Jesus? Have you recognized your sinfulness and your need for a Savior? Have you put your trust and your faith in him, confessing with your lips that Jesus is Lord, believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead? With that salvation, have you been baptized to show that dedication to Christ publicly? Some questions to ponder. Dedication and baptism pictures our dedication to Jesus. We're committed to him. But through baptism, we also see a picture of death. For you see, our commitment to Christ means we are turning our back on sin. We are dying to it. We are dying to that old way of living. And that's a picture we have as we stand in the water and are immersed in it. Just as Jesus died and was buried, so we symbolically are dying to our old life, and it's being buried away. Our sin is being washed away. It's being dealt with. It's being left behind. Here in Romans 6, Paul has started by asking if we should go on sinning, as if that's something we can carry on doing. His reason being is that God's grace covers sin, that God pours his grace on us to deal with our sin. So what Paul starts by saying there is, listen, why don't we go on sinning more and more? And then we'll get more and more of God's grace on us. But that's to completely misunderstand God. It's to completely misunderstand his grace and what the gospel is all about. Our recognizing the gospel, our believing in Jesus, is not so that we can sin more and more and just experience more and more of God's grace. No, we are to leave it behind. We are to stop sinning. Paul goes on in verse 2 there to say, we died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? There's a picture of death in baptism. We lay our sin down. We leave it behind at the bottom of the water and we rise to a new life in him. There's a picture of death in baptism. It's a picture, firstly, of Christ's death and then a picture of our own death to sin. Verse 3, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death. I shared from the Romans Road a moment ago that Christ died for sinners. He died in order to save us from our sins, that our sin could be forgiven. Death was the punishment for sin. On the cross, Jesus' body was broken. On the cross, his blood was poured out. And it was poured out to forgive our sin. It was a once-for-all sacrifice. If you know anything about the Bible, if you ever read the first half, the Old Testament, you'll see that again and again there's teaching there of the need for people to come on a regular basis and bring their sacrifices to the altar. And the priest would take the animal, sometimes a lamb, and they would kill it in a certain way, and then they'd drip its blood on the altar, asking for God's forgiveness for the people's sin. And the people were forgiven. But the people went out and they sinned again, and they came back again with another lamb to be slain and its blood to be dripped on the altar for the forgiveness of their sins. And so the cycle went on and on and on. But God looked and he loved his creation. And he said, I want to do something about this. I need to do something about it. And so he sent his only son into the world, the perfect Lamb of God, a lamb without blemish and without defect is how the Bible describes Jesus. He was sinless. He lived the perfect life. He showed us the way to the Father. And then he died on the cross. And as his blood dripped, it wiped the slate clean for you and for me. Our sin is atoned for. The price has been paid once and for all. We don't need to bring animals any longer. Jesus died for us. He was buried. And in baptism, we see that picture as we too come and are placed under the water. We symbolize his death. We actually picture our own death there as well. The baptistry is a picture of the grave. When the believer is baptized in water, it's a picture of their death to a life of sin. Their baptism says, I've trusted Jesus. And just as he died for sin, I am willing to die for and to sin. When we come to declare our commitment and dedication to Christ, we are saying that we are dying to sin. We are laying it down. We are turning our back on it, never to pick it up again. Look at verse 6 and 7. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Just as death delivers us from the will to sin, so salvation gives the believer a desire to be free from the grip of temptation and sin. With salvation comes a desire to lay it down by the help of God. We cannot do it on our own, which is why the day of Pentecost is actually a wonderful day to celebrate baptism, because in the day of Pentecost, God sent his Spirit upon us, and the Holy Spirit gives us the strength to resist temptation in our lives. Tom is saying today that he has died to sin. He is turning from all the bad habits and all the ways he has rebelled against God. He is trusting Jesus for his salvation and trusting the Holy Spirit to help in the continued fight against sin. Does that mean he will not sin? Oh, I'd love to say that about every one of us. But we still give in. But hopefully now there's that desire not to, because we've laid it down. We don't want to pick it up, and the Holy Spirit will give us the strength. Listen, have you died to sin? Have you turned your back on it? Are you living for Jesus? Have you put your trust fully in him? Baptism shows us a picture of dedication, a picture of death. Finally, it shows us a picture of deliverance. Baptism not only pictures death, but it pictures resurrection. When Jesus died, those who believed in him died also. When Jesus rose from the dead, those who believe in him will one day rise as well. Verse 5, if we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. What a remarkable promise and truth. When a person believes in Jesus, they die to the old life of sin. They're raised up to a new life in Jesus Christ. Verse 4, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead, we too may live a new life. We are no longer slaves of sin. We are not held captive by it. We have been delivered from it. We are free. The chains are gone. We've been set free. Amazing grace. Tom is saying today that he's died to his old life of sin, and he's going to try his utmost to live for Christ from this day forward. He has a new life. A life in which the shackles of sin no longer bind him. He has the power of the Spirit within him, helping him to resist temptation. He is able to enjoy new life in Jesus. And because of that new life, he's got no fears. He doesn't need to fear death. The Bible tells us that in 1 Corinthians 15. He doesn't need to fear Satan. Romans 8 tells us that. Hebrews 13 tells us he doesn't need to fear life. In fact, he has nothing to fear at all, because 1 John 4:18 reminds us that perfect love drives out fear. And that perfect love is the love of a Savior who died on the cross to save us from our sin. Tom has been saved from his sin. He's assured of a place in glory for all eternity. His old life has gone, and he now has a new life to live in Jesus. He has been born again. And as he celebrates a special birthday, maybe that gives you the clue as to how old he is. I can't believe it's an old birthday. I'm kidding. Today, by declaring publicly his status as a born-again believer, proclaiming his faith in Jesus, my encouragement to Tom this morning comes from verses in another letter that Paul wrote, this one to the Colossians, in Colossians 2 and 6. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Friends, we don't need to go in search of Jesus in the waters of the baptistry, for Jesus has already found us. Baptism will not save Tom. In fact, it won't save any one of us for that matter. Only faith in Jesus saves us. Tom is declaring his faith in Jesus today in baptism. Baptized into Christ Jesus means being united with him in his death and resurrection. And here in baptism, we see a picture of dedication, of death, and of deliverance. We dedicate ourselves to living for and following Jesus all the days of our life. We publicly declare we are dying to self and to sin, and in that we are being delivered into a new life in Jesus. In a few moments, Tom will be baptized. He is publicly identifying himself with Christ. Would you pray for him? In recent days, he has answered two questions that I ask regularly, and I regularly put to people. And I want to ask him this morning, are you saved and are you baptized? Peter said in that day of Pentecost, repent, be saved, and then be baptized. Are you saved? Maybe you're here in this place this morning and you've never heard the gospel message before, but listen, you've learned it today. All you need to know is that you are a sinner who needs a Savior, and Jesus died to offer you that salvation. He is our Savior. Will you come to him this morning? Will you put your trust and your faith in him? Will you turn from your sin and confess Christ as Lord? In a moment, I'm going to pray. And if you want to do that, then I want to invite you to share in that prayer with me. Maybe you've heard this message over and over again. Maybe you're sick of it. But listen, it's my job, it's my role, it's my pleasure, it's my privilege, it's my responsibility to share it again and again and again so that as many people as possible have the opportunity to turn from their sin and turn to a Savior, that they have the opportunity to turn from death and destruction and find life. Life. And so this morning, maybe you've heard the message many times, but you've never responded. I just want to ask you, what's holding you back? Is it your pride? Is it stubbornness? Is it fear? This morning, would you lay everything down? And would you simply come to the Savior? Maybe you've responded before, but you've fallen away. Well, this morning, the Savior of the world stands with his arms outstretched, ready to welcome you back into the fold. Maybe you're the prodigal. This morning, would you come home? Would you pray with me in a minute? Listen, are you saved? Most important question you need to answer, not just today, but in life. Are you saved? The second question, are you baptized? Have you come and publicly declared your faith in Jesus Christ? God's word commands us to repent and to be baptized. It couldn't be clearer. What's stopping you? Whatever it is, would you lay it down today and would you simply come in faith and obedience? And as we pray, make that commitment to be baptized and come and speak to me later on as well. Are you saved? Are you baptized? This morning, Tom is declaring publicly that he has received the Lord's salvation. He is saved. And he's declaring publicly that he's identifying with Jesus by going through the waters of baptism. Maybe that's the step that you need to take too. Would you pray with me? Let's close our eyes, bow our heads, and let's pray. And if you want to put your trust in Jesus today, then maybe you would just say these words with me in the quietness of your hearts. If you want to say them out loud, that's okay too. But say them and mean them. Dear God, I know that I am not worthy to be accepted by you, I don't deserve your gift of eternal life. I am guilty of rebelling against you and ignoring you. I need forgiveness. Thank you for sending your Son to die for me that I may be forgiven. Thank you that He rose from the dead to give me new life. Please forgive me and change me, that I may live with Jesus as my Lord and Savior, the ruler of my life. And if you prayed that prayer this morning, just with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, just let me just invite you to raise your hand so that I can see, and I, only I, can pray for you in these coming days. Father God, I want to pray for those who have just said that prayer. May you seal that commitment they have made and walk with them in all the days that lie in front. Give them courage this day to tell their family and friends. And I pray too, Father, for those who are ready to make a commitment to be baptized. Seal that decision in their hearts. For all of us, Lord, we thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. We thank you that we are baptized into Christ Jesus. Help us to live those new lives in Him. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.